You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And listen, this football season is going to be a little different. Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. And I mean, I'm still just so jazzed that football is back. I know things are not great for the Vikings, and we'll talk about it, but I am just so jazzed to be able to watch football, watch a really cool Sunday night tilt between the Seahawks and the Patriots and get all excited about it and bet on it and play fantasy, and all that stuff is just so exciting to me. And Pepsi is the refreshment that you need for game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. So, of course, we've got to talk about the Sunday's events. The Vikings fall 28-11 to a Colts team that honestly didn't look like the kind of team you should be getting your doors blown off by. And it's time to kind of lick our wounds and take stock. And there's a lot of talk about where this team is headed and what kind of expectations we should have. I think a lot of people had expectations that this was going to be a team that would compete for the NFC North and like win the division and maybe make some noise in the playoffs. And I think we're all kind of reevaluating that. So we have to talk about that and how the game went down as a whole, and then really take stock and kind of ask ourselves what we think we're going to get out of this season and start to kind of figure out how exactly we're supposed to analyze a team that just kind of comes out and doesn't look like they're ready. So the game was never really one that the Vikings seemed competitive in. The game's score was within two scores for like most of the game, which would kind of imply that the game was a competitive one where at least like a comeback could be staged if a couple of balls bounced the right way. But the Vikings really never looked like they were able to keep up with a team like the Colts that had just lost to a Jaguars team that had basically stripped its roster bare the week before. It's not a good look. The performance was headlined by a really bad Kirk Cousins stat line, which reads 11 for 26 for 113 yards and 3 interceptions. And hey, that might even be a little bit better than it looks. That stat line might be a little misleading. There was one of those interceptions was a Hail Mary at the end of the half that was just caught at the goal line by a Colts player. One of those bounced off the hands of BC Johnson, though I do think that that one had plenty to do with Kirk Cousins making a bad, inaccurate throw behind the wide receiver. So the actual stat line is probably not like that bad, but Kirk Cousins played abysmally in this. And if that stat line leads you to believe that Kirk Cousins played abysmally, it probably isn't that far off. Even though there might be some misleading elements to it, the conclusion is still very much correct. Dalvin Cook only carried the ball 14 times for 63 yards and a touchdown. That is the effect of being behind for most of a game, and the defense looked just as bad as it did against Green Bay. It looked like the corners were entirely hapless. There was very little pressure on Phillip Rivers, and the Colts were basically able to move the ball up and down the field as they wanted. The Vikings also took a really ugly safety for the third regular season game in a row dating back to 2019, and ultimately the team just didn't look prepared. They seem to be the only team in the NFL that needed a preseason as badly as they did, and they really don't look like a team that's ready to play football. They're making poor mistakes, many illegal contact penalties, they're making miscommunications in the secondary, they are mistiming snap counts, they're committing false starts and holding penalties on the offensive line. Drew Samia did play in relief of Pat Elflein, who, of course, is on injured reserve and looked to be about as bad as Pat Elflein, and a lot of the players just didn't play very well. Old BC Johnson, Justin Jefferson weren't particularly factors, although it's difficult to say if that was because they weren't getting open or because Kirk Cousins wasn't seeing the ball. And Cousins was very inaccurate in this game. He was overthrowing screen passes. He threw the ball behind receivers a number of times and just wasn't placing the ball where the ball was supposed to be placed. And it could be a timing thing with no preseason, but it seems like every other team in the league figured this out. And the fact that the Vikings couldn't figure that out is a colossal coaching failure. For a veteran coaching staff that is headlined by Mike Zimmer and Gary Kubiak, people who have been in this industry for decades upon decades, it's pretty pathetic that they can't get the team ready to play a regular season football game without a whole bunch of preseason to go with it. This is also kind of a reflection of the offseason failures that we were talking about all the way through free agency and the draft. The Vikings didn't fix their guard issue. They now have two very bad players playing at guard. Dakota Dozier was basically beaten immediately for what ended up being the safety. Drew Samia was plowed all over the field by DeForest Buckner. They didn't get an extra defensive tackle, and the Colts were able to run down their throat play after play after play. There are plenty of examples of Quentin Nelson picking Shamar Stephen up like a forklift and moving him wherever he wanted to, be it 10 yards down the field or opening up a giant gap. Jonathan Taylor was able to run all over a Vikings defense that's supposed to be its strength. Part of this was because Anthony Barr was injured in the game, although the broadcast didn't tell you that. But honestly, this looked a lot like the San Francisco playoff game where the Vikings' season ended a year ago. Kirk Cousins was not very accurate in that game. He wasn't awful, but he certainly was not a producer. He was much more of a trailer than a truck, to borrow language from Bucky Brooks. Meanwhile, a power running game basically grinded the Vikings down to a nub and was able to pick up 8-yard chunk after 8-yard chunk after 8-yard chunk. And everything we know about the generalities of football and the way that football is typically decided is that it comes down to the passing game. And there were plenty of passing successes as well. Mo Alie-Cox got like 111 yards as a tight end, and Mike Zimmer even spoke after the game and said that he had to simplify the coverages because there were too many mistakes in week one for all these young and experienced corners, so he was trying to make it easy on them, but those simplified coverages are weak to concepts that come from Frank Reich, the architect of the 2017 NFC Championship 38-7 debacle, by the way. So he had used a lot of the same plays, honestly, that you might even recognize from that game against the Eagles, and it still demolished Mike Zimmer. So there are a lot of problems that have been plaguing this roster for a while, are not solved, and reared their heads in a really, really ugly way on Sunday, and in a way that makes it really hard to convince anybody that this team has any business being competitive, or even in the NFL. It's one thing to start off 0-2 and, you know, look competitive, maybe lose a couple of games, do something like what the Falcons did, where you still kind of have a lot of positives to hang your hat on, and maybe you can make a run, or something like the Cincinnati Bengals, who have, you know, a quarterback that they can feel good about, and there's something that maybe if they figure it out, you know, if Joe Burrow comes along, and if they figure it out, they might be able to make a late run. And it's another thing to look like you don't belong in the NFL. They look like a 6-5 Mountain West team out there that did not belong amongst professional football players, and not having a preseason isn't an excuse because it affected every other team. And if the Vikings couldn't handle that, we have to start asking some really serious questions about how this team is organized, the points that they are trying to make as a team and the identity they're trying to have as a team, and how we can actually field a freaking competitive football team, because right now it is not that. Something has to turn around really, really quickly if this team hopes to be competitive and we aren't talking about mock drafts by November. And right now we're really, really flirting with that future. So we're going to pick up the pieces and talk about some of the things that went wrong in this game, some of the things that, you know, may be solvable, things that aren't solvable. And then I think we're going to have to kind of have a larger discussion about where the team is headed now. And if things are really spiraling down, at what point do you just embrace it and lean in and try to build for the future? Does that even work? And there's a lot of really crazy stuff that people are saying, of course, in the high emotion of a loss like this that we'll all have to talk about. But first, Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. And whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our own communities. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So it's time for us to return the favor, right? The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol to tap and pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community safely. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. So I think the best way to go about a game like this is to just kind of look at the actual, like, higher level problems and how they're manifesting themselves. For example, the Vikings don't have very good defensive tackles. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? For one, they let go of Linval Joseph to save money, but they did bring in Michael Pierce. So it's not necessarily their fault that Michael Pierce opted out, and this is a COVID thing, and I think that's a reasonable excuse. And of course, you know, in 2021, that problem is going to partially be solved because you're getting Michael Pierce injected into the whole thing. And that's going to help a lot with the meat grinder that we saw on Sunday with Quentin Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly in that interior, just picking up the Vikings defensive tackles and moving them wherever they want. I do think it's kind of a failure. I mean, you knew Michael Pierce was going to opt out. You had all off, you know, the whole of camp to try to make something happen. They tried to get PJ Hall in. He couldn't pass a physical. They tried a couple other things to get a little bit more beef in there, and they ended up just kind of like willfully trotting out Jaleel Johnson and Shamar Stephen, who just are not up to snuff. They're not starting quality players, and they're starting, and teams are taking advantage of that and running it down their throat. Should not see your nose tackle, one of two nose tackles. I don't know which one of them is a nose tackle, but they both should be nose tackles, Jaleel Johnson and Shamar Stephen. You shouldn't see your nose tackle, the biggest, beefiest guy on your team, get pushed back 3 yards by the running back. I don't care if it's a physical running back like Jonathan Taylor. I don't care if it's Jerome freaking Bettis. That guy should be able to swallow up a running back. That is his entire job, and he's not doing it. And a lot of that goes back to an offseason failure that is partially their fault for, you know, not getting a better defensive tackle, not getting a better three technique defensive tackle, of course. I mean, they got a nose, but they didn't get a guy to rush the passer or put any pressure. And we're certain the dividends from that, but partially not their fault because, you know, you did get Michael Pierce and that didn't come in. And the Vikings really missed Michael Pierce or Linval Joseph or some sort of like big disruptive presence on the interior. They really missed that on Sunday. This is also the second week in a row where we saw really, really poor play from the cornerbacks. I think Jeff Gladney was targeted 8 times for something like 6 catches and like 61 yards and a touchdown. He had to play in place of Cam Dantzler, who injured his rib but didn't exactly have a great day against the Packers in week 1 either. Holton Hill had a poor game. Again, Mo Ali Cox ran all over the zone defenses that Mike Zimmer has designed to try and handhold these young cornerbacks. And this could have been really, I think, easily solved if you had been able to splurge and spend $1 million bringing in Darqueese Dennard or bringing in any of the cornerbacks that I advocated for in the offseason. But instead, they resolved to trot out a rookie and Holton Hill and hope for the best. That didn't work, and I don't think that it is reasonable to have expected it to work. I mean, I don't know. Before the season, it was all going to I called it the biggest question mark, and I was very wishy-washy about it, but I probably should have just said, like, yeah, this is probably going to be really bad, and I'm really concerned about it, and I don't think I was stern enough about that, but it is pretty predictable that trotting out, Holton Hill in his third year, an undrafted free agent who had gotten beaten up by third-teamers in preseasons past, and a rookie with no offseason was not going to work, whether that rookie is Cam Dantzler or Jeff Gladney. And I even have a cold take from last week where I said, the Colts weren't able to punish bad corner play. Well, they kind of were this time, and I think it's really abysmal. They just don't have a lot invested in what I think is the second most important position in the sport, I think, is cornerback. I think it's more important than anything on the offensive line, anything on the defensive line. I think it's more important, than like wide receiver, any of it. And the Vikings are playing, let's be honest, a group of backups and rookies. Not to mention losing out on Everson Griffin and replacing him with Unique Ngakoue, who did actually manage to get some disruption. And I do think that he's somebody that I think will kind of grow as the year goes on. I think that's true of the rookies as well. And I think the other side of the ball has kind of similar issues where, yeah, you didn't really improve the offensive line. You had an offensive line that was not one of the better units in 2019. It worked out fine, but it was certainly a problem and caused a few losses. The guard position and even like Riley Reiff got his butt handed to him by Nick Bosa, who tore his ACL on Sunday, which is really, really sucky. So you had a problem headed into that season that you've had for years and you just didn't do anything about it. It got worse, right? You had Elflein, Garrett Bradbury, and Josh Klein. You got rid of Josh Klein, so what? So that you could, like, afford to take the dead cap hit that you needed to trade away Stephon Diggs? So that you could bring in, so you could afford the Shamar Stephen $5 million price tag? I think that move is still inexplicable and one of the worst offseason moves this Minnesota Vikings regime has made. And yeah, I'm counting that in things like drafting Laquon Treadwell. I think just the process behind it is so inexplicable to get rid of an affordable, efficiently paid, quality starter and just neglect to replace them at all. Throw in your fourth rounder that's raw and not ready to play. Throw in Dakota Dozier, who's been in the league 7 years and hasn't started a game like willfully in his life, only by injury, and you get the result that you deserve. The Vikings deserve to have this happen to them, and they deserve the bad media that is going to swirl around them. They failed in the offseason. I don't think anybody argues against that they failed in the offseason. The team got worse at a time that is supposed to be dedicated to making the team better. And the team got worse. They didn't even really get cheaper. They're right all the way up against the cap, and the next 2 years are going to be hell also. So now we have to kind of think, where do we go from here? because the Vikings don't look like a competitive team. Do we try to make them a competitive team? A lot of people are saying, you know, take your foot off the gas, coast into the end, go 1-15 and draft Trevor Lawrence. There's a whole bunch of problems with that we're going to break down in just a second here. And I think we have to ask, you know, if you're Ziggy Wilf, if you're even Mike Zimmer or Rick Spielman, if you are these people, what do you do? Because right now you can't just trot into the week 3 game against Tennessee and hope to run it back, because you're going to get drubbed up by 30 points again, and this staff isn't going to make it to the end of October. Something's got to change, and it's got to change now, or else this could get really ugly, and it could honestly torpedo the next 5 years of this franchise if the Vikings play it wrong. But you know what doesn't need to change? Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they do have a whole bunch of new fun flavors. They still have all your old favorites like toffee almond or peanut butter brownie, but now they have new and like way fancier sounding flavors like apple almond crisp and lemon almond cheesecake and carrot cake and cookies and cream and all kinds of new fun things. And hey, maybe that sounds like something that if you're on a diet, you can't even go near, but that's where you're wrong. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're even keto friendly, so if you're on keto, you can indulge and have a nice sweet treat and not feel guilty like you're having that kind of sweet treat. So head on over to BuiltBar.com, and if you use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off of your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so let's kind of take a step back here. We've complained a whole bunch about the way the Colts game went, and it was a disaster, it was embarrassing, it was pathetic, and I think the only way to get deeper into that is going to need to be with like the film and the like PFF charting and all the data that comes in the next couple of days. So we're going to put that part off for the next couple of days, and we're going to talk about just the direction of the team as a whole. Because here's something that I saw a lot on Twitter. A lot of people are in this camp, and I'm going to kind of, I don't agree with this, but I'm going to try to present it in the most earnest way possible so that you know that I'm kind of, like when I take it down, that I understand what I'm trying to take down here. So a lot of people think that the Vikings should pack it in. They're 0-2, it's over, there's the Owen tombstone, as I know Justice calls it that, and I've seen it around. Basically the idea is, if you go 0-2, teams that go 0-2, of those teams, like 11% of them make the playoffs or something, and like 2% of them host a playoff game, you know, so unless you're going to sneak into the playoffs as a wild card, there's all these really unlikely things, your season is basically over. You're not winning the Super Bowl after you go 0-2, unless you are like a very, very special unicorn. So, and a lot of this is under the like guise of realism. I'm just being realistic. They're not going to make the Super Bowl, so they might as well pack it in and try to make the Super Bowl in a year where they have a better chance, right? And so the strategy here is, you know, you tank the year, and if coaches get fired, coaches get fired, right? We're kind of sick of Mike Zimmer anyways. He's been around for like 6 years, and he's only ever made one like NFC championship, right? And that's the farthest. You get rid of Spielman, right? You drafted Laquon Treadwell. We're still mad about that. So, okay, that's probably unfair. But they want to get rid of Spielman. They want to burn it all down, tear the whole thing down, get rid of Cousins, get rid of all of it, tank this season, and try to get the number one overall pick and do two things. Hire Eric Bieniemy as head coach. He's probably the hottest head coach candidate that's going to come out after the end of the year. He's the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. He was a hot head coaching candidate last year, kind of inexplicable that he didn't get hired. So everybody wants to bring in Eric Bieniemy, offensive head coach, right? We have a defensive run focused. Now let's bring in the guy that brings the Chiefs offense. That one's good, right? Let's take that and draft Trevor Lawrence with the number one overall pick. That would be the goal. And you'd have a new quarterback that's supposed to be this like once in a generation quarterback prospect in Trevor Lawrence, this new head coach who's the bee's knees and all that. And you're good to go. That's it. There are a million problems with that. And this is not going to be me defending the Vikings. The Vikings look like crap, and they need to stop looking like crap, or everybody's going to get fired. And I think that's plenty realistic, to use the word realistic. But you know what else is realistic? The Vikings aren't getting Trevor Lawrence, man. And they're probably not going to be able to lure Eric Bieniemy in with the situation in Minnesota anyways. This is not an attractive coaching vacancy. So I guess that's the first problem, is that this is not a realistic plan. It's realistic to say, yeah, the Vikings probably aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. They kind of stink. It is not realistic to say that if they were to tank and really even commit to it, that they would even get the first overall pick. It's not even that realistic that they would take Trevor Lawrence with that first overall pick, because they just signed Kirk Cousins, a quarterback that they are way higher on than you or I am. They just signed that guy to 3 years fully guaranteed. They cannot get out from under that contract really under any circumstances without eating an absolutely massive dead cap hit. Even if they like traded him at the end of this year, they're still soaking up like a $20 million cap hit. It's just abysmal. And they did that on purpose. They wanted to disincentivize themselves from getting rid of Kirk Cousins because they wanted to latch themselves onto Kirk Cousins. An offense that I take a lot of issue with. I do not think they should have done that. But now the deed is done, and they can't get out from underneath the Kirk Cousins contract without really saddling quite a bit. And even if they did tank, and even if they did take Trevor Lawrence, yeah, I mean, listen, a prospect can only be so much of a sure thing, right? You can still have an Andrew Luck situation where injuries totally derail it. You can have a Ryan Leaf situation where they're supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread and they totally don't work out. Or Baker Mayfield, or, I mean, look at, go down the line of first overall quarterback, you know, Jared Goff, look down the line of first overall quarterbacks, and you don't see as many Andrew Lucks as you see Jameis Winston's. That's far from a guarantee. So you're basically advocating that you torpedo a season after week two for what kind of chance of like getting your best quarterback? And then once you've gotten that quarterback, of those scenarios where it works out and he is really good and everything's great, how many of those scenarios do the Vikings actually win a Super Bowl in, right? Because you can have, you know, a good quarterback and a Cam Newton and a coaching staff and Ron Rivera that you're really good in and still not ever win a Super Bowl. Panthers never did. They got to one, but they never won one. Or would you be satisfied with that? Probably not, knowing the kinds of people that are kind of on this like tank for Trevor train. And so that's the second problem, is that even if you do get him, and the Vikings probably wouldn't, they wouldn't outsuck the Jets, they wouldn't outsuck a team like the Dolphins. I mean, there's 10 0-2 teams, and right now, at least according to like 538 and Vegas and stuff, they're probably the third best among those 0-2 teams. So you would have to outsuck six teams that are worse than you objectively, and you'd have to do so on purpose, which wouldn't happen. I'll get to that in a sec. But even if you did successfully do all that, and you lived in this fantasy world, I do not think it is very quote-unquote realistic. How many of those scenarios do you have, you know, a Cam Newton Panthers? How many of those scenarios are a Jared Goff Rams or even a Jameis Winston Buccaneers, where it never really works out and turns into a Super Bowl, or an Andrew Luck Colts, where he is pretty good, but you just never take that next step? It certainly doesn't guarantee anything. So what are we sacrificing here? And that's quite a lot, right? To blow a whole season, tear your whole franchise down. I mean, you're upset right now after two losses. Imagine watching 14. How upset are you going to be? And is that really worth a what? 50-50 chance of being good, and among that, a 10% chance of winning a Super Bowl once you already are good, because there's lots of good, I mean, if you actually run like probabilities and even think through it with back-of-the-envelope arbitrary numbers, there isn't really a world where that like guarantees you a Super Bowl. If there were a thing that guaranteed teams a Super Bowl, every team would do it, and this sport would be solved. So you're pretty much always taking risk, and you just have to kind of weigh cost against risk against benefit, and the cost is really, really high for anything short of a sure thing. The other thing is, you just can't tank in the NFL. NFL teams can't tank. It's impossible. And yes, there have been some teams like the 2-14 2011 Colts that did so bad, then they got Andrew Luck on the other side of it, which, again, that didn't lead to a Super Bowl. It's not a guarantee. Injuries can, of course, happen, and so that risk has to be factored in. But, you know, that happened, but they didn't tank on purpose. If you look at, like, the Jaguars right now, everybody thought the Jags were tanking. Everybody thought the Jets were tanking a couple years ago, and they kind of clawed their way into six wins. Last year, the Dolphins were supposed to be tanking. They clawed their way into five wins. Players can't tank. They don't tank. Most players have a window of maybe 3 or 4 years where they're, like, in their prime and good and playing to maximize their money. They're not going to lose on purpose. This isn't Madden. This is not a place where you can turn off coach firing, bench all your starters, and sim the season to the end. We can't do that. We have to be here, and I will be here for the next 15 weeks. Rain, snow, or shine, I don't care if they're 0-16. You're going to get five shows out of me every single time. So if you think that sounds excruciating to watch the team lose time after time after time after time, and I bet it would be, you don't get to just close your eyes and skip it, and the players certainly don't either. So they would not tank. The players will not lose on purpose. They will claw and fight and try to win as hard as they can, and coaches certainly won't tank. If you go 0-16, you're getting fired. I took a poll earlier, like in training camp before the season, basically said like, hey, if Mike Zimmer goes 8-8, are you firing him? And most people said yes. Mike Zimmer is not going to tank and be fired to better set up the guy that replaces him. None of them will. Rick Spielman will not encourage the team to tank and lose on purpose so that the guy that replaces him after you get fired for losing all those games, so that that guy can be better set up. Nobody is going to do that. So just practically, you cannot tank. You cannot hit the tank button like you can in Madden and bench all your starters and sim the season and turn firing off and ignore all the headlines that come in the one window you can just not click on. That is not an option here in the real world. We live in reality. The tanking for Trevor Lawrence thing is a fantasy. The Vikings will not get Trevor Lawrence. I would stake my life on it. The Vikings will not get Trevor Lawrence. The Vikings will not get Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to say it again. The Vikings will not get Trevor Lawrence, even if they try their darndest to, because the NFL just doesn't work like that. They have too much talent to be the worst team in the league. And if they can't be the worst team in the league, they're not getting Trevor Lawrence. So let's say you try it. Let's say they listen to the fans and they shut it down and they say, we're going to do it. Maybe they're even really public about it and say, hey, be patient with us. You know, we know the season is lost. We're trying to do what's best for the future, and we're trying to be smart, right? I think people would support that if they like pitched it reasonably enough. And since we're listening to all those people, we're going to fire Zimmer, we're going to fire Spielman, we're going to get rid of them, and then in 2021, we're going to build the whole thing up from scratch. Do you realize how bad that would be? Because the Vikings are like, the situation that they would be able to pitch to people coming in for GM interviews, or, you know, elevating George Patton, though I'm sure if you're firing Spielman and you're firing Zimmer, you're cleaning house, right? I think George Patton would be part of it. So you got to, you have to convince another front office executive to come take over this situation with a quarterback they did not select, who is tied to the franchise for 2 years, and there's basically nothing you can do about that. Yeah, you could like cut him before 2021 and take a huge cap hit and stuff, but that's not a very realistic option. It is a functionally fully guaranteed contract for, what is it, $21 million in 2021 and then like $45 million in 2022 or whatever. So you have to come in and take on that behemoth of a contract and a whole bunch of other, you got a big running back contract on the books that you didn't choose to do. You have a whole bunch of defenders like Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks who are in, you know, Daniel Hunter, all these guys that are in contracts that you can't get out of whether or not you want to. So these are not your guys. You have to come in and embrace guys that aren't yours in contracts you did not negotiate. For a fan base that is rabid and will give you about 2 seconds before they're ready to tar feather you and throw you out into the Boston Harbor. A whole bunch of players in a locker room that's entirely lost because we tanked, and if the players, like, actually tanked and were forced into tanking, they're not going to want to play for this franchise anymore. And by the way, the coach that most of them love, the front office that agents like to negotiate and will negotiate in good faith with, all of that is gone. You've thrown it out the window and you have to, from scratch, what GM is going to want to take over that situation? What coach is going to want to come and say, yeah, Kirk Cousins and a giant cap hit? I would like to take that thing over instead of going to a team like Jacksonville, maybe, or a team like Carolina or the Jets, where you get to come in and you kind of get to pick your own quarterback, right? Like the Jets, Sam Darnold's coming up, you can kind of like not sign him to a fifth year option and draft your guy, or, you know, Carolina or Jacksonville, you can kind of like choose whether or not you want to stick with Teddy or Gardner Minshew. And if you don't, that's okay. You can draft someone. There are options. The Vikings, you do not have options, and it is not an attractive thing. So I don't think any GM or coach is going to want to be here. So now you need all that stuff that was already unlikely to work out. You need it to work out after you get your like fourth choice of head coach and your like fourth choice of GM, because nobody wants to come and play for a situation that is entirely borked. Or maybe you want to maybe bring in a lame duck coach or something, or keep Mike Zimmer on, or, you know, promote Gary Kubiak or whatever to limp through the rest of the season, and maybe next year you have like a 1 year head coach because the season's going to be completely borked anyways, and you know that in 2022 we can really get to build. So now we're tanking 2 years and going through two coaching staffs, and if that guy doesn't work out, you fire him, and basically you're risking, if that guy doesn't work out, you become the Browns cycling through coaches all the time, and you're just in a pit of despair that you can't get out of for decades and decades. Don't think we want that. And so if all of this hasn't convinced you that this is unlikely to work out, right? There's some world in which that works out, but it's pretty unlikely. I would say less than a percentage that the Vikings actually tank and it works out, right? I think less than a percent that they actually tank. I think that's impossible in the NFL to do successfully, and the Vikings certainly wouldn't. And that it would work out is even like, is also unlikely. So I would say less than a percent that it happens. 538 puts the Vikings at about 18% to make the playoffs, or 17 or something like that to make the playoffs. Right now, trying to turn the season around and trying to make the playoffs and make something out of this is by far the more likely thing to work, like by a mile. So if you're interested in being realistic, if you're interested in a level-headed approach that takes in the facts, that doesn't have any emotional bias, that you know, rationally parses through what actually needs to happen and what like brings about the best future for the Vikings, you should want them to go back to the drawing board, figure out what's wrong, fix it, and try to beat the Tennessee Titans. And I know we've already gone over here, but before I go, a couple of kind of extra footnotes about the game. The referees were really bad in this game, and it favored the Colts a lot. Like, the safety, it looks really sketchy, and I don't think they should have blown that play dead. The broadcast, actually, as bad as the broadcast was, the broadcast agreed and kind of said that they should probably give the quarterback a chance to try to get out of the end zone, and I think Kirk would have if the whistle hadn't blown. There were a couple of illegal contact penalties that were really, really ticky-tacky, and they came in like huge situations, and I think that's a reason to take this with a grain of salt. There was so much else about this game that was dreadful and bad that it doesn't really change your conclusion, so you can kind of safely forget about it and just remember this one as a game where the Vikings did really, really bad. So on that cheerful note, and all of this ranting aside, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Vikings. This episode has been brought to you by Pepsi, made for football watchers. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday, so get your questions in. I will send out a tweet. When I send out that tweet, I'll link that tweet in the show notes for you. I will see you all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.